Well, good evening, everybody. We are live at the Antlers on a Monday evening, and certainly the last 7 days went by in a hurry. Seems like we were just sitting here, Damon, talking about going to Michigan State. We've been and to come back and get a split on the weekend, a big win on Thursday night, 4-2, played very, very well in that game. And I didn't think he played badly at all on Friday night either, but a little different result there, 2-0 the final, really probably 1-0. They trickled one in the third period of that game that made a difference, but it was a split on the weekend against a pretty good foe on its ice, and I think we're growing here.
Yeah, it's not bad. You know, you go on the road, you at least want to split for sure. And I like that we took care of business Thursday night because you put yourself in a position to go for the sweep. So I thought that was pretty good overall. You know, I didn't think it was our best game either night. I thought we played better the weekend before and then really probably out in Portland as well. So, you know, a couple guys, whether it's, you know, that first road experience or just getting a little bit of a lull there in our play, but I didn't think we were particularly sharp either night. Thursday, we were definitely better than Friday. You know, what I did like is our defensive game both nights, we really limited the grade A chances against, which again is something we need to be very sharp at. So I thought we did a pretty good job overall that way. And, you know, I thought Gordy played very well on his night Thursday. Then Nick Kostoff, once again, was extremely solid, handled pucks clean. So we got good goaltending and we didn't give up many chances. And obviously the offense ran a little dry there on Friday, but a good weekend overall.
Yeah, big concern going into the weekend was penalty kill. I thought you did really well. Penalty killing was very strong and face-offs were very much improved. So these little things we're working on are coming around.
Well, yeah, hopefully. I mean, that's obviously you're always trying to improve and get better in every area. You know, I think I was extremely concerned after Portland on our penalty kill and now, you know, everything was new. Coach Hollowell came in and, you know, changed our systems and that's fine. He's got, you know, a ton of video behind it. It's things they're doing in the pro level in different areas. So I like what we're doing, and I didn't know at first if our guys maybe couldn't handle what we were trying to do or we weren't explaining it properly. Obviously limited time has a part to do with that, with not enough time spent on it, but they're certainly understanding the concepts now and executing them. So a lot of credit to our players for continuing to develop and grow in those roles. And I think the other thing we found is the personnel of who works well on the penalty kill as individuals and as partners. So I think our personnel pairings have really grown and kind of shaped up to who we're using in those units. So yeah, I thought the penalty kill was particularly sharp. Thursday night we got a shorthanded goal, so we won the special teams battle on Thursday night, which was a bonus. And I thought a couple real good looks Thursday night on the power play. Friday night I thought we got pretty stagnant with our power play, and we'll look at that and make a couple tweaks.
Yeah, that was probably the big difference. You had three power play chances in the Friday night game too, and really didn't do a whole heck of a lot with it. We had a lot of trouble. It seemed like Michigan State played a lot harder in its zone, though. They were very intent on not allowing us to get anywhere near the front of their net.
Well, that's their bread and butter. They don't give much up. They don't give you a chance to maybe take advantage of a mistake they make. They play very within themselves and kind of look for their one chance to capitalize. And a very good shot blocking team. If you can penetrate, you know, Hildebrand's there to do a job. But, you know, that was our lowest grade A generating for our team of the season. We only generated about 7 grade A chances. Conversely, we only gave up 7, so it was a wash that way. You know, we shouldn't give up 2 goals and only 7 grade A's generated, but we've got to find a way to get the one. And you know, I thought the officiating was tough because late in the game we had to kill off 3 penalties late that gave you no chance to claw your way back into the game. So that was a little frustrating that way. But you know, overall a good effort, and we continue to grow and learn about our team and in the direction we're headed.
Yeah, Thursday night, the real positive things again. You had a couple freshmen score goals for you. CJ Hayes scored one. Gage Terrell got an empty netter. And then the newcomer, the sophomore JT Henke, had a goal as well. That's 3 guys who were in their first year with you, and they all came through on Thursday night.
Yeah, had good nights. You know, we started the Matt Johnson with JT Henke, 2 Michigan kids from down below the bridge there. So, you know, they're a little bit excited to go downstate and play in front of family and friends and, you know, against an old CCHA rival there in Michigan State. So they got the start. I thought they were very good. You know, I really liked their start Thursday night. We've been starting games extremely well, and that needs to continue. We need to finish a little bit better. We get up some late goals in both the first and second period on Friday night's game. But, you know, JT Hankey's played well. You know, he's missed one game, and he's got 4 or 5 points, almost a point-a-game guy. He's very skilled. He's got great poise. The pass he made to C.J. Hayes on that two-on-one goal was incredible. I've not coached many guys who can pass as well as he does. The way he creates passing lanes and executes through tight areas, he's very dynamic that way. So he's been very good on that. And then he went to the net after that, and CJ tried to pass it back over. We got a bounce off of Michigan State D-man, but that's why you drive the net. So he was very good. You know, Gage Terrell continues to play at an extremely high level. So those young guys have continued to offensively spark this team.
Yeah, and on Friday night, we finally did it. We got 10 freshmen in the lineup. We actually had 10 first-year players there, actually 11 first-year players if you count Hankey, but 15 underclassmen altogether. Pretty young crew against a veteran crew from Michigan State. They had 14 upperclassmen in their lineup.
Well, and it bodes well for the future, no question. I mean, when you it's tough for some of our guys. You're putting them in some difficult situations to ask your freshmen to go in and play against seniors and a Jake Hildebrand and Mackenzie McEachran and Thomas Abing. These guys have played a lot of college hockey, so it's not the matchups on paper that you love as a coach. But our guys have done a pretty good job with it overall. And again, I think it leads to success certainly 2-3 months from now, and then for sure 2-3 years from now. So I've liked their response in those situations. You know, even go to that Northern Michigan game, I thought we played well on the road there. And you know, we talked about the environment in Michigan State. It's not the most hostile crowd, but it is a very good college atmosphere with the band playing and their student sections full and right behind their goaltender. So again, a trip that'll pay dividends for our team as we move forward.
Yeah, for you it's going home. You played there for 4 years. You're certainly very familiar. You went to school there after you played. You were an assistant coach there for a while, and so it's going back to very familiar surroundings for you.
Yeah, you know, actually proposed to my wife on that ice as well on Thanksgiving. So, you know, and then a couple of fans mentioned that we're there. You know, in the first intermission shootout, two of my nephews shot for the local youth team there, and they were trying to sneak their Laker jersey on the ice, and they were shut down in that. But my brother was on the ice with them in his Laker gear. So, it definitely is home, and, you know, it's a nice trip. And then just to see the people around that program, it's funny that the faces don't change walking to the rink, and you know, the Zamboni crew and you know, Dave Carrier, Tom McGee, the faces have been there a long, long time there. And it's a special place to get back to. And we enjoyed that side of it. And you know, I appreciate my team. Post game on Thursday, they presented me with the game puck because it was kind of a homecoming of some sort. So appreciated the thoughts of our players and then thinking of me in that situation. But you know, we wanted to win badly, and we were able to do that Thursday night, and that was the best part of it.
Yeah, practice today, things were fairly intense for a Monday, but you had a couple days off in there, so I'm sure you wanted to get the lactic acid out, as they say, and get these guys skating. They certainly did that this afternoon.
Yeah, and that was exactly it, Bill. You mentioned a bit of a long trip home in terms of your arrival time back in Sault Ste. Marie. You know, getting in at 2:30, 3 o'clock is never the easiest thing to do, and then to try to get some sleep. So they had Saturday, Sunday off, and had a AM lift this morning. They lift in the morning in two groups. And then, yeah, practice, we got after them pretty good. We wanted to make sure it was a heavy day, a hard day. We didn't want it to be kind of that soft-skilled Monday where you're just touching pucks. We wanted some compete level and, skated them extremely hard. It wasn't a lineup on the goal line and skate, but it was in some drills and some compete areas. So, you know, I liked it overall. And when you take 2 days off, you're always a little bit concerned of how sharp and how your execution is going to be. But I thought overall it was pretty good. I liked their goaltending once again today. Some new line combinations, and I actually really liked the line combinations and the limited work we did in some line rush drills and some down low offensive zone play.
We're going to have Zach Lesh joining us in the second half of the program tonight so the fans can get ready for that. We've got our pad out there for folks to ask questions. If you've got questions of the head coach, Damon Witten, he'll be here till about 6:45, and then Zach will move in here and finish it up. And there's a young guy that's been asked a lot of. He's a senior now at Lake Superior State. He played quite a bit his freshman and sophomore years. He was a defenseman. He's been converted to forward. He works awfully hard at that. He hasn't played in about 3 games. It's tough when you're a senior and you're having trouble cracking into that lineup.
Well, no, quite. I mean, it doesn't matter what year you are. It's difficult. Everybody, looks forward and works so hard for that Friday and Saturday night. And, you know, I'll give him credit and the other guys credit. And, you know, I'll share a little bit more than we typically would, but the conversation we had with a couple of those kids who didn't travel, his line in practice last week practiced so well. I mean, they were very good. And, you know, part of what we told them was if we were home last weekend, our plan was to take three guys out of the lineup, find three forwards who, you know, maybe just need a break or didn't perform the way we wanted, and put his line in. I'm not going to tell you who he's with, I guess, but there was three of them that practiced so well, and some of you watch practice, and they scored goals in small area games, D-zone coverage, they were very good. So, you know, was really, really impressed with their practice. Problem is, you jump on the road, you can only travel 22, and you got to make some decisions for some various reasons. So he wasn't with us on the trip, but, you know, I would expect that Zach will get a chance this weekend in the lineup as long as he continues to have another week of practice that way. So he's worked hard. The other guys have worked hard. Our seniors have done a very, very good job. And you mentioned, you know, there's some of them that don't play every night that they like to, and everybody does. But we're trying to find some different ways for them to be fulfilled and find their role on this team. And they've done a really good job of that early on.
Yeah, and it's gauged on practice. At this point, you got to perform in a game, of course, but it's mostly gauged on how you practice going into it, who's going to make a trip, who's going to play on a given night. You made two changes between Thursday and Friday nights down at Michigan State. You put in Matt McArdle on defense, the freshman, and played Nick Kossoff.
Yep. And, you know, we talked about Matt the previous Friday, I think, at Northern Michigan. That Thursday-Friday series really throws me off, for my whole week is based on Friday-Saturday. So, but we didn't think Matt necessarily deserved to come out after that game, but we did want to get some other guys who probably deserved to go in. So sometimes you can take a player out based on a poor performance. Sometimes you're looking at, well, this guy's been good in practice. We want to give him a chance. You know, who do we take in or out, whether it's a forward or D, and how do they fit in? So a lot does go into it, and, you know, some of the conversations we have is, you know, we say, hey, you know, Coach Mitro, Coach Holloway, they should be telling me, like, hey, you're nuts. You have to play this guy. He's been so good in practice. You know, we should come back in after practice, and they should be fighting to get you in the lineup. And that's what we ask of our guys, to make sure in that conversation. We have a lot of guys in the conversation. There's really nobody that's not been talked about in the lineup, and that's healthy. For some guys, they're going to get their chances moving forward. Some guys, it might take an injury, a suspension, something like that, for them to get their chance. So, but, you know, we have those conversations with their players, and we ask them to continue to do what they're doing. The worst part is if they can't maintain confidence and faith and they drop off in practice and they fall out of that conversation, that's when you get really worried as a coach. But we're not at that point. Our guys have done a good job.
Yeah, there are a couple other guys I'm thinking of right off the top too. We took Al Globke on the trip this past weekend. He has not played since game one at Northern Michigan. He's a very capable player. He's a junior. He was a tremendous goal scorer as a freshman. He's having difficulty getting back in there now, and it's tough because there are some good players here. And another one is Scotty Patterson, who played early, and he has not been in about 3-4 games now.
Yeah, and we talked about Scott a little bit earlier. You know, he came back in tremendous shape, was really one of our, you know, our early camp surprises, was playing at a high level, was scoring goals, and then he missed about 6 or 7 days with upper respiratory infection. And it just, you know, he was on our power play, he was on a top six line, and then, you know, you miss all that time, and you miss, you know, the coaches finally got on the ice, and he missed some of that. And so it's really been, you know, difficult to get Patty back in. But again, he's another guy that you should see this weekend. Al Globke should be back in this weekend as well. There's been a couple different things with Al, you know, and like you said, he's very capable. You know, we've got to do a better job as coaches and on myself to find out, you know, how we can use Al most successfully. He had that great freshman year, did some good things at flashes last year, and, you know, I'd love to find him a place that we can get him back to that level. I mean, that offense, those contributions would be huge for where we're at. So, you know, we're constantly looking. We've moved around on some power play groups. We've moved around on some line combinations, and he'll play. And then I guess what we ask of him, when you get back in, you know, take advantage of that opportunity. Don't play so well and so hard. It doesn't mean you're going to score 4 goals, but it's going to mean you do everything right away from the puck so we can't take you back out. And, you know, that's kind of our hope for Al, that when he gets his chance again there, he really seizes on it and stays in there and rides this thing out.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Our first one of the night. Damon and I will be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back for our second segment at the Antlers tonight. The Laker Hockey Show continues. Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers. And we've got a big weekend coming up. We're at home. Alabama Huntsville will be in town, coming in with an 0-1-1 record, having tied Anchorage and then lost to them 3-2 on Saturday night. We'll talk about that and the Chargers in just a moment, but we want to get into our 8th annual Pink in the Rink because there is so much to talk about. This is a major event, and we have Parents Weekend combined with it. We'll talk about Parents Weekend as well right in this segment, but coming up, this all started when Stan and Ann Jakaitis got it going 8 years ago. The appearance of our goaltender at that time, Jeff Jakaitis. Ann had come off some serious problems with cancer, which she has overcome since then. And Pink in the Rink's all a part of that, and it now benefits a lot more than cancer research, et cetera, although the oncology unit at War Memorial Hospital will be the big benefactor of this year's program. And looks like a good one, Damon. There are a lot of things here. I mean, there's a Jeff Blashill autograph, Red Wing jersey to be auctioned off. There are a number of baskets that are worth $200 and more that are going to be auctioned off or raffled off. There'll be chances to buy on a lot of things and just be a lot of excitement. It'll be a great weekend for the folks to come early on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, they're working hard, and there's a lot of, as you mentioned, a lot of great opportunities to take part of it and to help out the community. You know, one area that hits really close to our family this year, and I don't want to speak too in depth about it, but Chrissy Otte's mom's been had a tough diagnosis and a tough go. So I believe that half of the apparel sales will go to the Ciotti family and help her battle. And so, you know, certainly touches close to our program and Chris being a captain, assistant captain for us last year. So, you know, we certainly encourage people to help out in any way they can. And, you know, the apparel, it looks great. I actually am wearing mine tonight. It's in. I think it's available for pickup tomorrow. And again, you know, it hits us very close this year. We've talked a lot about it as a team. It's a big event for the community. And, you know, for me, being newer up here, it just takes a much more personal tone with the Ciotti family and their battle. So we certainly hope everybody comes out and gets involved and, you know, enjoys the event. And, you know, for the most part, the most of that money stays in our community. So it's very important for the community. And a lot of people have worked extremely hard. So we appreciate their help as well.
Yeah, they're going to have a volleyball match, the Lakers against Wayne State on Saturday afternoon. That'll be called Dig Pink. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of pink in there, too. And a lot of things going on with that. It'll be at Cooper Gym starting at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon. Also on Saturday, there'll be a Halloween theme to the game that night. It'll be Pink in the Rink, of course, but there'll be a kids party. There'll be a costume contest for adults. That should be very interesting right there. Pink jersey auction. Of course, our guys are going to be wearing special jerseys as they always do, and those will be auctioned off to the public. Fans can bid on them during the game. You could bid on, say, if you wanted to buy Gage Terrell's jersey, you could try to bid on that. And there'll be a silent auction for a number of things, raffle of the baskets, and those baskets are worth more than $200 a piece. So, you know, you can get some really nice stuff there, some good gifts involved. It's just going to be a big deal, and there are going to be an awful lot of things going on, and a little distraction too, but I'm sure our guys will be focused on what they've got to do.
Well, they are, and it's nice. You know, our guys get a chance to participate in some of that. We skated with some of the youth hockey last week to promote it. We'll do that again Wednesday. You know, Thursday evening, our players will help set up and do some items that way as well. And, you know, they're going to have Zach Lesh on here shortly. And Zach is one of our many guys who just does a great job representing our team away from the ice. He's very active in different charitable institutes around the campus and some of the things they've done through their classes as well and marketing classes. So Zach has been a good piece of that and advocating for our team and helping them get involved. So it's nice that our players get a chance to be involved. And again, just a little more personal hit this year with the Ciotti and one of our former players being involved, just like with the Jakaitis when it started years ago.
Yeah, I think Zach's real big with the student athletes athletic, the committee that Chris Dunbar has for student athletes. We started that when I was AD there, and she has really grown that. And it's a big, big helpful organization right now on campus.
Yeah, our SAT committee is very very involved and does a great job, and I know they're on this event as well, and you know, they do so much throughout the year. So you know, it's always tough as a coach to try to, you know, you obviously want your kids involved and out there a little bit, and you try to balance you know, their schedules and their demands a little bit as well. So it's a bit of a fine line at times, but it is something we're trying to do more of to get our hockey players out in the community and a little bit more involved on campus as well.
Well, it'll be a big night, both nights, Friday and Saturday, with Pink in the Rink going on, but it's Parents Weekend as well. We should talk about that. The parents, most of the players will be here, and they'll be introduced on Saturday night between periods of the hockey game. but there are things happening there. There will be a Blue Liner gathering after the game on Saturday night at the Sisler Center, where the fans can meet all the parents at that time, and you'll be involved with that probably and introduce some players, etc. And then on Saturday morning at 9:30, it's the annual brunch for the team, and fans can get in on that too. It's $10 to get in on the breakfast, but you can come and see all the players, introduce all their parents and their family, and that's always interesting too. Some guys will have 10 or 12 people they'll have to introduce.
Yes, yeah, for sure. And you know, it's fun to be, you know, this game's so special, and in a community like ours, I think we all know what this game means to our families and our kids. And you know, I'm just learning it with my 4-year-old as he starts, but you know, I know on the bench, and you know, Thursday's game, the national anthem is going, and I always have a little routine I do, and you know, I could look up and see my dad in the stands, you know, watching me, and you know, grandparents, and none of them are no longer with us, and so it was emotional. But you think back, and then after the game, you go upstairs to meet your Bill and do radio, and you see our players congregating with their families, and you know, I think as a coach, sometimes you forget how much our families mean to us, and you know, we want to win, and we want our structure and to control everything we can control, but it really is special. I mean, it's going to be nice to have everybody here, and it's a special moment for our players, and a lot of my finest memories that in my playing days were certainly involved my parents being there and my family being there. So really looking forward to getting everybody up here and encourage our fans as well to come by. And it's a nice way to interact with our players, you know, away from the rink and hear them talk about their families and what they mean. So it'll be a really nice weekend, a busy weekend, but a nice weekend.
Are most of the parents going to be here? Usually there's somebody who can't make it, or they're too far away or something, and they can't get in for this particular weekend. They'll maybe come some other time during the season, but how's the attendance looking?
You know what? I haven't heard a whole lot. It's typically, like you mentioned, very good. As you mentioned, a couple of our BC parents or Quebec, there might be a couple that just can't financially or distance-wise. And there's been a pretty good turnout so far this year. So a lot of parents have traveled early on. But I would imagine the majority will be there. It's, you know, they get to catch two home games and you know, celebrate them and all they've done for their kids to get to this point. So I think attendance will be very strong.
You know, previous coaches have always kind of worried about this weekend. You get Pink in the Rink going, you get Parents Weekend, especially Parents Weekend, because it brings so many families, girlfriends, things like that to town. Always a little bit of a problem with distractions there. How do you handle that sort of thing? You just keep your guys focused on what they got to do.
Well, yeah, you know, we do a lot pre-practice, whether it's quotes or readings. We had a long one today about the team, and you know, a couple of weeks ago we talked about, you know, you got to have blinders in this business. You know, most of our guys want to be pros, or they're going to be successful business leaders in their own communities hopefully one day. And there's a point in time when the blinders have to go on. So it's great, you know, Friday post game, you want to say hi to mom and dad, you know, enjoy that 15, 20 minutes and then put the blinders back on to prepare. Saturday post game is a great chance. Obviously, Saturday, the brunch is a little bit of a different wrinkle. But, you know, it's okay. Those are moments that you'll never forget. And, you know, it transcends the game there and moments like that. So we'll just celebrate it, enjoy it, and, you know, hopefully kind of teach our kids how to grow through that. And like I said, if they want to be pros, they're going to have wives and kids and all those things one day. So they've got to embrace it and put the blinders on and get to work. And that's what we'll ask them to do.
Yeah, we've got some questions from our fans who are here with us tonight. We have a good turnout, as usual, at the Antlers. We really appreciate Chris Sabo and Kathy playing host to us. We talk about that all the time. Chris is unable to be with us tonight. He's got a meeting over at Big Bear with the hockey organization there, the Sioux Michigan Hockey Association, so he's tied up. But we do have some questions here. Let me see. Are all the penalties hurting the flow of the game, because there have been a lot of penalties in recent games, and is that hurting team chemistry at all to have to kill penalties or to be on the power play all the time?
Well, I wouldn't say team chemistry, but certainly the flow, no question. I don't like where we're at nationally, our average per game. You know, there's certainly some calls you don't always love, but we're taking too many. We talk all the time, you know, 5-on-5, we've been pretty darn good, you know, and I've liked the matchups against most teams we've played. So, you know, we want to stay on the ice and play 5-on-5, so I want to have a little bit more discipline in our game. Like I said, sometimes you can't control some of the calls, but I'd like to take ours down a little bit. And, you know, Mitch Holtz is tied, I think, for second in the country in power play goals. So, you know, our power play has done some really good things. We've created some good looks. We've got to be a little bit more our efficiency level between the two groups. You know, our power play, I think, is looked pretty good this year. So we can draw it and play on the power play. I don't mind that, but certainly want to stay in the box more. And even though our penalty kill the last 3 weeks has been pretty darn good after that first weekend and last Friday night. But, yeah, you want to play 5-on-5 for sure and get everybody into it.
There was a penalty shot in the game on Thursday night, game one of the two, the game that you won 4-2, and Gordy stopped that penalty shot. It was Joel Cox, the forward from Michigan State, who took the shot. Question here is, was that penalty shot deserved? Should that player have gotten a penalty shot there?
Well, I think by rule, it shouldn't have been, because he still got the shot off. Gordy got a toe on the original play. I can't remember who dove and slashed the guy or tried to poke
Drap
the puck.
Drap luck,
yeah. So, but he still got a shot off. So and we had one happen to us earlier on. We didn't get the penalty shot because it said, well, the goalie made the save. He still got a shot off. So by definition of the rule, it should not have been a penalty shot.
Yeah, and that was C.J. Hayes, who had that first chance, the one you're talking about that we had. That was just as bad a situation as what the penalty shot was awarded on. So that was very questionable there, but Gordy did stop the penalty shot. I thought that gave Lake Superior a real shot right there.
Yeah, and great for Gordy. I mean, again, I thought our goaltending, I mean, we're in a really healthy position with both guys playing at a high level, and you know, I think their play has really elevated each other. So, you know, we like where that there. But, yeah, it did. It gave us some life and some energy to, you know, turn a little bit. We knew we'd have to have a hostile crowd, the opposing team, and a couple of guys in stripes as well.
There is a question here about Al Globke not playing in either game. Actually, this person thought that he played a shift. He did not dress for either game, but is he injured right now? I thought he kind of got banged up there in that Friday night game in Northern Michigan. He left the ice in the third period and kind of disappeared for a while. Is he hurt at this point?
Well, everybody's cleared to play, so we're healthy, cleared to play. But you know, you're a few weeks in, and some of the little things, the nagging injuries, are there a little bit. So you know, that's a small piece of it, and there's just some other areas too that we're asking for more upon too. So, but yeah, if he needs to play, he could play, medically speaking.
First weekend of WCHA coming up. What's the plan for goaltending? I don't think you're willing to talk about that at this point, or really you probably don't know what's going to happen here at this point. You'll wait and see. Probably Gordy Dayfield on Friday night and go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I like where we're at. You know, Gordy, certainly we know a year of what Gordy can do at this level, so that comfort level's pretty high and pretty strong. And you know, Nick over the last couple of weeks, and even before that, really since day one, and again, we're just kind of trying to put him in a healthy situation for his first start. He's done nothing but, you know, satisfy what we need out of him as well. So we feel good. And if it's Nick Friday, we'll be excited. If it's Gordy Friday, you know, we're fine with that as well. And we know Huntsville has a very good goaltender in Guerrero. And, you know, I know he's going to be hungry. His numbers aren't where they typically are at. So we're going to get an upset Guerrero, and we're going to ask Gordy or Nick or both of them to match his play and win the goalie battle.
Yeah, the players of the week in the WCHA just named this afternoon. Gerald Mayhew, the forward from Ferris State, a couple of goals and an assist in a tie and a win against Wisconsin at home. Olivier Mantha, the goaltender from Alaska Anchorage, is the defensive player of the week. That's because Huntsville outshot Anchorage by a wide margin in both games, and yet Anchorage won one of them and tied the other one. And then Atte Tolvanen, the goaltender from Northern Michigan, he was named Rookie of the Week for the weekend, getting a 4-1 victory at home over Tech and then losing 3-1 at Michigan Tech on Saturday night. We're going to take a break in the show. We'll be right back with more on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back at the Antlers. It's the third segment of our show tonight, the Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten and the head coach of the Lakers with us. And Damon, we've got Alabama Huntsville coming to town this weekend. It's a big series because it's the WCHA opener for the Lakers. Huntsville gets a tie and then loses a game on its home ice against Alaska Anchorage. And I just mentioned a moment ago that Olivier Mantha, the goaltender from Anchorage, was named Defensive Player of the Week for his efforts in those two games. And I think Huntsville outshot him 39-23 and then 35-21 or something in those two games. So Huntsville generated some opportunities. Mantha was very, very good. You mentioned Carmine Guerrero a moment ago. Outstanding goaltender. I think he's one of the best in the WCHA. And he'll probably be a little bit upset coming in here on Friday night.
Yeah, it's not what you want. Top goaltender coming in with a little bit something to prove. So, yeah, I mean, he'll be looking to get back to form, and he's got the ability to win games single-handedly. I mean, he's had to do that for that program over the last couple of years. You know, as they're looking to rebuild that, I think Mike Corbett, Coach Corbett's in his third year there as well, mm-hmm. so or into his third year. So, you know, we're going to get an angry goaltender who's got the ability to be dynamic and dynamite, and so that'll be a challenge for sure. You know, it's interesting, they haven't left home yet. They've played every game at home. They've had one exhibition and four regular season games. So, you know, one of our guys mentioned, you know, a goal for our team should be, you know, coming into Taffy Able. Like, teams got to know they're coming somewhere, you know, just like it used to be, and that's one of our goals. And so, you know, I like that a little bit with their first road series. I hope we can really establish, you know, our forecheck, our momentum, the way the weekend's going to go when the puck drops Friday night. So I think that'll be an interesting dynamic to watch there as they're looking to get their road legs going a little bit. And if you look a little bit deeper, they've got one line who's really done a lot of damage with Solnay, McHugh, and Breers. You know, they're all over a point a game. I think from there it drops, and that's, you know, really a dangerous line that you have to account for. And, you know, Fortune will be able to get a matchup that we like on paper and watch that all weekend long. And then they got some defensemen who are chipping in. They got three or four D-men who are 2 or 3 points or 1 or 2 points. So they're getting a little bit more offense from their D. And, you know, we talked about it right after our game Friday. I asked Matt Johnson, I think it was, you know, tell these freshmen what's one thing that sticks out about Huntsville. What's the number one thing? And he said, they don't get outworked. They're one of the hardest working teams in college hockey. They're going to compete and battle and muck and grind. And, you know, so you really have to be ready to match that intensity level. And we will be. I mean, we're a hard working team as well, but they're an extremely hard working team, and we'll have to be ready for that.
Yeah, they've been like that since Mike Corbett took over for certain. In fact, they were like that even before then. They've always been, they don't have tremendous high end talent, so they've got to work really hard to be in the game. And that's what they rely on, and I think that's what their head coach preaches to them.
Yep, no question. And, you know, I think there's some similarities to Michigan State. It's not a bad there's not a huge change of page in terms of style of play and philosophy from that. Defensively, you know, I think we'll see some good zone time and have some possession down low. They tend to play a little bit more of a man-on-man style, and then they, you know, they pack their net in pretty good. They make it hard to get pucks and grade A chances generated. So our heaviness on pucks, our puck management will have to be good. There's you know, there's a patience level to the game that you have to handle because of the way they do play. So you've got to just understand that you're not going to go out and play up and down in river hockey. You got to be heavy on pucks, and every touch becomes that more important because they are looking for that one chance or that power play chance to get their offense off of it. So we'll have to handle that a little bit. But, yeah, I think it's a good matchup for the way we've been playing and for our style.
Really important series, too, in that it starts the WCHA season. We want to get off to a good start, and we're going to play against a team that's, you know, for this early in the year, kind of desperate right now. They lost and they tied on their home ice. They know they need to get some points, so they're going to be very tough, and Guerrero's, he's worth the price of admission if he's on his game.
Yeah, no, I mean, no question. You got to take care of home ice in any league, but certainly in the WCHA, the way it is, how difficult it is to travel and win games. So their desperation level is going to be up. You know, they got us late last year. That cost us a spot in the standings as well. So, you know, we're certainly a different team and in a different place than we were a year ago, so I'm not looking back at that at all. But, you know, you want to get off to a great start, and you want to take care of home ice. And, you know, I like that we did that against Northern Michigan a week ago. And I know our guys are really excited. I feel like we've been gone for forever, one home game, and they've played four and we've had one. So I think our guys are excited to be home again, you know, coming off the great crowd from Great Lakes State weekend. So I think the energy and the excitement of our team is going to be really up there. And so we're hoping, I know everybody in this room will be there, but the people out there listening, you know, come on out and get your tickets. It's exciting brand of hockey, and, you know, we're really excited to be home.
Yeah, and I would think we're going to have great crowds, too, with Pink in the Rink going on and all the extra things that go with that. Parents weekend, we had a great crowd for Northern Michigan, over 2,000 for that game. That's a good crowd these days at Lake State, and I think it'll be really exciting this weekend. It's going to be two good crowds and two good games.
Yeah, well, you can do your trick-or-treating right in the rink as well, yeah. So you don't have to get cold or wet or whatever. You know, come up there and bring the kids. But, yeah, you know, I mean, this community, I know, is ready to kind of explode. And, you know, we're close. We're close. We're growing. We're getting better. And I think there's some really good things coming up. So come out and, you know, support us.
Well, you get a split at Michigan State, win 4-2, and then they get a tough 2-0 loss. A lot of young kids in the lineup for the Lakers, but they're exciting players, some of these young guys. The recruiting was very, very good last year, and I know Doug Holova was off recruiting this weekend. Bring us up to date on what's going on there. What is it that you're looking for at this point? You don't really need that much for next season, so maybe you're looking at futures or maybe something that you do need for next year?
Yeah, it is pretty specific, as you said. You know, sometimes you're out replacing a big class and you're looking for a lot of pieces. I think right now, if we can find the right, you know, kind of call them a high-end goal scorer, if that person exists out there and is uncommitted right now, then, you know, we'll try to get very involved in that. And we've got a couple targets we've ID'd and are going after and recruiting actively right now for that position. You know, goaltending's a year or two out, so we're starting to kind of whittle down that list of 97, 98 goalie. It'll be a year or two from now. And then, like you mentioned, the midget hockey, the young hockey, because we do have that what did you say, 18 freshmen, sophomores, so you can obviously project 2-3 years out. We've got these big classes coming up, so we want to get out and be active and pop off some of our main targets in those age ranges as well. So Doug was out all weekend recruiting. Actually, with the Thursday, Friday, it gave me a chance to get on the road and watch you know, one of our committed players and then a guy that we're on as well. So it was kind of nice that way. It was long and busy, but it was nice to get out and see some hockey where you don't get a chance to do a lot of that in season.
How many players right now are signed to NLIs for next year? Are there just a couple? I think that's about it. Two, maybe three at the most.
Yeah, I'd have to get the paperwork out and see. But yeah, I think there's three or four. So, I mean, we will hope to do, I think, for sure, two NLIs this early period coming up in a week or two. There'll be some news on that before too long. You know, and then there's always that constant question of, you know, who's going to be back, who's going to sign or potentially move on, and, you know, are your guys ready? You know, one of our committed signed players, Ian Johnson, recently got moved from Kanata to Brockville, and, you know, a much healthier spot for Ian, and he's really responded well. He's doing a great job. I'm not sure where he's at league-wise right now, but he went from a team that couldn't score a whole lot to a team that he's putting it in really now, and he's well over a point-per-game guy with his new team. And, you know, he's a guy that we think can come in and can contribute offensively. And, you know, so we'll kind of watch him and then watch other guys and see who's coming in this year or the next year and, you know, who might leave early and have a chance to sign. We've had a lot of interest in some guys, so It's a moving target, and we'll continue to evaluate.
Yeah, I was amazed. We had pro scouts down there talking to players after the game on Thursday night at Michigan State, and man, it's awful early in the year to be hitting on our freshmen, but they were down there. It never fails.
Well, a lot of different guys, not just the freshmen, but there was about 6 to 8 that night, and the newest kind of race is these guys all want to get these guys committed to an NHL camp. You know, Zach's sitting here, he can talk to you about that experience. But now these NHL guys are asking these players to decide, hey, yes, I will go to the Blackhawks or the Capitals, you know, and make a decision early on, because then, you know, they were waiting 2-3 months and then the spots fill up or the guys they want gone somewhere else. So it's now a big race. And, you know, as a coach, you hate it because there's more distraction and, you know, all this stuff. We want our guys thinking about playing the right way, and the way you play earns these opportunities. And now all of a sudden you start thinking, well, boy, you know, this NHL team liked me or talked to me, and I better do this or that. So the distraction is very worrisome to a coach, but that's kind of the new part of it, is they want a commitment to their development camp early on before spots fill up.
Yeah, so they can get a good look for the future. And, you know, there's a lot of feeling that the NHL's raiding away college hockey and taking the very best players before they've matured at all, and they kind of sit down in the East Coast League or the American Hockey League for a few years. Of course, their standpoint or their viewpoint on that is that that's where they're going to develop. So that's what they want to do.
Well, for our players listening, if they are tuned in, you know, it doesn't cost them much to sign. So there's no risk now for the NHL teams. They'll sign a bunch of guys, and if one or two pan out, fantastic. You know, so that's part of their point of view. But, you know, hey, we want our guys in those opportunities. I think it's great for our guys to go to these camps, and some are run better than others, but you go get some nutrition counseling, you're on the ice with their skill guys. So it's great opportunities, you know, for our guys. And I think, again, Zach went a year or two ago there, so he can probably be a real good conversation with Zach when he gets on what his experience was all about. So, you know, it's part of it. And I think the hardest part now is, you know, I've been on the other side where if you're not playing well enough, they're going to sign you to get you to leave because you're not developing. If you are playing well, they think you're ready, so they're going to sign you. So you're in college, we're really hit on both sides of it. So it's a very difficult balancing act.
And they love free agents, and they like guys who are a little bit older, especially defensemen and goaltenders. They really look at them.
Cheap labor, so they can get those guys signed and hope they pan out. But you know, like I said, our guys, you know, that's the dream of all of our players. And so, if, you know, hopefully we can help them sign. But we want them over ready. We want to have 10 or 15 teams fighting for them, not one or two teams. And so they can really pick an organization that depth chart wise matches up for them, and you know, long term that they can really make a good decision based on a lot of those aspects of it, not just, hey, one team offered me, I'm going to take it and leave, and you know, hope for the best.
All right. That's all the time we've got with Damon tonight. He's got to get out of here. Zach Lesh is going to move in with us in just a moment here. We'll be back for our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back for our final segment, the Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers tonight. Bill Crawford joined now by Laker player Zach Lesh. Zach's a senior out of White Bear Lake, Minnesota. And we talked about you earlier in the show, Zach, in that it's very difficult right now for players who've been around for a while not to play all the time. You've played quite a bit this year, but the last time you played was Friday night at Northern Michigan. I think we'll probably see you this weekend for sure. But tell us a little bit about what that's like. You got to practice hard all the time and give it all you've got, maintain a great attitude, keep going to school, and yet it's tough to get in that lineup sometime.
Right, we have a really deep team with a lot of really good freshmen who make it tough to get in the lineup, and that's what you want, though. You want a good, healthy competitive environment at the rink. Without that, you're not going to have a successful team. And we have six lines of forwards on the ice every day, so we have three lines in white, three lines in blue, and it's an absolute competition every day. And yeah, it's really healthy for our team.
Yeah, it was today. I was up there just long enough to see that for a Monday. Of course, Monday quite often can be that way, especially if you've had a couple days off. You were going at it pretty hard. It was very intense today.
Right. Today was a really up-tempo practice. I actually went to Coach Witten at the very end of it, and I said, that's one of the bigger hidden baggers I've been in, and that just means it's a tough skate by a hidden bagger, but it was really good for our team, and it's going to be good for us getting into the games this weekend.
Yeah, for the fans who don't know what that means, there's a thing called bag skating, and coaches like to do that sometimes. If you ever saw the movie Miracle, Herb Brooks was pretty good at bag skating, and coaches are good at that anyway, but they kind of disguise it in practice routines and drills and things that you do, and that was what today was.
Right, absolutely. They try to disguise it in their what coach likes to refer to as the work to rest ratio, and we had a lot of work today.
Yeah, it was good though, and that's the way it goes. Now, it's tough from that standpoint, but let's talk a little bit about Pink and the Rink right now. I know you're pretty much involved with that, and that's one thing that Zach Lesh has been since he's been at Lake State. You've been involved in a lot of activities away from the ice too, not just hockey, but you get involved on campus and Pink and the Rink, you're part of that committee. Tell us what you've been doing with that. And I think it's probably going to be the biggest and best one we've had yet from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, there's a lot going on this year. And I know just through some emails with Coach's wife and the rest of the committee, I know the pre-order apparel forms, I think they just hit $8,500, which is more than we made last year in our pre-apparel forms. And we've hit that already this weekend. So that's good for us. And you know, it's just, I'm a marketing major here, so a few of my credits are to work with the team this year with the marketing in the marketing department at Lake State with Linda Bouvet. So it's been a good experience for me.
Yeah, and it's a good chance to actually hands-on things. What are some of the other things besides Pink and the Rink that maybe you get involved with?
Later on this year, we have a Veterans Night. We're looking at getting something together for that, and then maybe doing some jerseys later in the year based upon Veterans Night. We'll see how that goes, if we can fund for those jerseys and stuff like that. That's something that I kind of wanted to do and take that on myself and get jerseys for that. I think it'd be pretty cool in the Sioux to do that. And then we have the teddy bear toss on December 12th, I believe it is. And I'm gonna be a big part of getting that together for us as well.
Yeah, that's an annual affair too. And who benefits from that one?
It's still something you get to pick, but right, a lot of it goes to the Children's Hospital.
Yeah, I think War Memorial Hospital's oncology unit's the number one benefactor of this year's Pink in the Rink, and I know that one of the MDs there who works with the cancer end of things is going to be there to drop the puck. That's Belisario Arango. He's going to be there on Saturday night to drop the puck before the start of the game, and he heads up the oncology unit right now at War Memorial Hospital, and they're going to be the big benefactor here.
Right, yeah. It's going to be a great weekend. I think a lot of people can say that they know or have family who have been affected by any sort of cancer, and it's obviously something that might hit home for a lot of people and maybe some past Lakers, and we're going to have some Lakers in the stands this weekend that we're going to kind of do a little tribute for. So it's going to be a fun weekend for us, and we look to just keep them in our thoughts.
Yeah, we've lost players to cancer in the last 20, 30 years. I know Timmy Breslin, I can remember very, very well. Great part of our 1988 national championship team, and what a guy he was. A great player, great kid, and had to leave way too early. I mean, he was very young when he passed away, but that's a good point to make on the past players. You know, Coach talked a little bit about you being camp experienced, that's what these pro scouts come in and talk to the young guys about now. They want them to try to get them to these camps. You attended one, I think it was two summers ago, was it not? And tell us a little bit about that, what the experience is like.
Right. I was pretty fortunate. My first 2 years here, I went to three training camps, actually. So my freshman year, I went to Chicago and Winnipeg. And then my sophomore year, I went to Washington. And the camps are just a great experience. You get exposed to all these teams, first-round draft picks, other free agents who are in the market. And it's just, you go, you have good on-ice training and in on-ice games, and it really prepares you for that season coming up as well. But along with that, the off-ice is incredible. You go through extensive off-ice testing, and they break down that testing and say, this is where you need to improve to get to our level. And it really helps you to see where you lack and also areas you're strong in. And then, like Coach Witten touched on, you go through nutrition classes. A big part of Washington was the power skating. They broke down our power skating in a video, and then the video instructor there said, anytime throughout the season, if you have a video you want me to look at with your skating, send it to me. So you make a lot of connections, and it's really good for your game. So
yeah, it's been a great experience there, and we talk about that all the time. I think college hockey is very, very close to the professional game in how you carry yourself. The kinds of things you eat and do and take care of yourself away from the ice. And I see that all the time with a lot of our guys. They're very, very cognizant of nutrition and being ready to play. Steven Perfetto, I thought, was like number one at that last year. And this year we have a lot of guys who are into the nutrition end of things.
Yeah, it's becoming a bigger and bigger part of the game is nutrition. And it's just something that if you don't do it, the guy next to you is going to do it, and he's going to have that upper hand on you. And like you said, Perf, he was gluten-free all last year. He probably still is out in Alaska. And, you know, his sister, I'm forgetting her name now, but she's a nutritionist, and she was a huge part of it for him, and she helped him a lot.
Yeah, he had special drinks on the bench. Even during practice, he had different drinks than what everybody else, and he certainly never just drank water. He had lots of things going on there.
Right, yeah, there's a lot of guys who are drinking recovery drinks, and they just have the BCAAs, which help you recover faster. A lot of the guys are drinking BioSteel or whatever it may be, but you know, there's so many different things out there that can help you recover faster, and you got to take advantage of everything you can.
Now, this weekend we've got Huntsville here. You've had experience there. What are we looking for? It's Pink in the Rink weekend, as we just talked about. It's parents' weekend. I would think your parents are going to be here from Minnesota, and it'll be a exciting weekend. It's our WCHA opener.
Right. It's always great to get into season play, you know, whether doesn't matter who you're playing. WCHA play is the most important games of the year, and you can't take any team lighter than any single team in the league. You got to come out, and there's 4 points on the line, and that's what you're after is 4 points and a couple wins at home. And obviously with our parents in town, everybody wants to get out and ring that bell, and we know everybody here and everyone in the town wants to see us ring that bell. So it's one of the best traditions in college hockey, and we look to do it every weekend.
You know, they were talking on ESPN today about traditions of college football and basketball, etc. Nobody ever talks about hockey on ESPN, but unless it's Steve Levy and Barry Melrose. But you know, I think that ringing that victory bell may be the number one tradition in college hockey. I can't think of anybody else who does anything like that.
No, it's an incredible tradition. And you know, like you see Nick Kossoff, he had a tweet out the other day that he said he can't even put it into words how it feels to ring that bell, and it's unbelievable. You know, people talk about when you win the Stanley Cup, you can't put it into words right away. And when you ring that bell for the first time, it's the most incredible experience, and you can't replace it with anything else. It's such a great part of being here.
Well, let's hope we ring it a couple of times this weekend. Alabama Huntsville is here. We're out of time tonight. Zach, we're going to get you back on later in the season. You do a great job with this. You'll be a good marketer someday if you don't play hockey at a high level.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
All right, Zach Lesh joining us tonight. We're out of time. We got to get out of here. We got some sponsors to take care of. We want to thank all the fans for being here tonight from the Blue Liners. Remind you, there is a brunch this Saturday morning. You can get in on that. It'll cost you $10, but you can meet all the players and their parents, and you can do that on after the game at the Sisler Center on Saturday night as well. So that takes care of it on the Laker Hockey Show. Thanks to Damon Witten, Zach Lesh, Carl Mason, and also Frank Blissett back at the station. Bill Crawford, so long till next Monday night on the Laker Hockey Show.